If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
With an eclectic collection of trivia, water cooler knowledge, news stories, and motivational thoughts, this is the VoiceOver Work Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. I'm your host, Russell Newton. Thanks for listening today and hope you're doing well. The Salesperson's Secret Code, written by Ian Mills, Mark Ridley, Ben Laker, and Tim Chapman. Narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1. Discovering the Salesperson's Secret Code. In 2013, we, researchers Mark Ridley and Ian Mills, were asked to improve sales results at a global telecommunications company. There we met Tim Chapman, who was responsible for developing and running a sales excellence program for 750 sales managers and account managers across North America, Europe, Middle East and Africa, and Asia Pacific. Both he and his company wanted to know if good salespeople are born or made and what motivates high performance. After surveying staff, conducting joint customer visits, and interviewing leaders inside the business, we wondered how the trends being uncovered compared to those across the wider sales profession. We turned to Dr. Ben Laker, an academic from the Center for High Performance, to build a broader academic study capable of yielding cross-industry empirical evidence to answer that question. He invited 5,000 organizations across primary, secondary, and tertiary sectors, many of whom have a global footprint, to become research partners. Each organization was asked to nominate a cross-section of 10 salespeople. This created a list of 50,000 respondents, but rather than ask their bosses who the high or low performers were, we ran our own independent analysis across multiple factors, not solely based on revenue contribution, to remove bias and increase reliability. On our scorecard, we calculated a median, and people ranked north or south of that marker. This created two groups based on performance. Then, we took the 500 highest-performing respondents from Group 1 and the 500 lowest. Chapter 2. Fulfillment. By interviewing high-performing salespeople for 90 minutes and exploring their individual motivations, we observed that they all had a burning desire to be successful and a belief that success aids progression to both professional and personal fulfillment. No surprises there. To ensure the study was reliable, we split participants into two groups. Group 1 included the highest performing sellers in each participating company, and Group 2 included the lower performers. Across both groups, we uncovered the destination belief that everyone held in common. When we explored what shaped that belief, we uncovered two very different journey motivators. That destination belief is, I am most fulfilled when I am successful. Fulfillment. Journey motivator 1 for fulfillment is cautionary, motivated by fear, and focused on evading a negative consequence. I must win because I fear failure. Journey motivator 2 for fulfillment is aspirational. This is motivated by desire and focused on seeking out a manageable level of risk to achieve change and open doors to new opportunity. I want to be better than I thought I could ever be. The journey motivators may sound like opposites, and they are, yet each plays its own role in achieving fulfillment. We wondered if one was more effective than the other. Our research shows that while salespeople exhibit both journey motivators, they exhibit different levels of intensity depending upon whether they are top or low performing. For example, 100% of high-performing salespeople are driven by journey motivator 2, desire, more intensely than Journey Motivator 1, fear. For them, it turns out the carrot is more powerful. Chapter 3. Control. Salespeople understand the concept of control, the destination belief of the code. They believe someone or something must always be accountable for success, and so they evaluate where they want to be in the future, where they are today, what gap they need to bridge, and what forces can help or hinder them in achieving their goals. The top performers display strong personal accountability for success and failure, and seldom shift blame. Should failure come, they don't blame the economy, weak sales leads, or their pricing policy. They own the problem and learn from it, seeing failure as a temporary detour, not a destination. Something to learn from and apply next time. Across our two groups of salespeople, where in each participating company, Group 1 included the highest performing sellers, and Group 2 held the lowest performing, we uncovered two opposing journey motivators. Journey Motivator 1 asserts that not every outcome can be guaranteed. It holds that there is only so much I can control. In part, this echoes Helmuth von Moltke, the 19th century Prussian army commander who pioneered new, more modern methods of directing troops in the field. To paraphrase von Moltke, no battle plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. Or, as the boxer Mike Tyson put it far more colorfully, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. When it comes to salespeople with a high-intensity score on this journey motivator, however, this pragmatism is laced with reticence. They don't appear to throw their all at a venture. They hold back from full commitment because, deep down, they expect... Chapter 4. Resilience. Resilience is about how you withstand the impact of work and life events, including adversity, and your ability to get back on your feet again. Our well-being and resilience are built from a balance of expending energy during performance and taking time for renewal and recovery, thereby regaining energy. When stress arises, generally from demands or pressure for something that we care about, resilience helps us recover from the damage caused by it. Managing stress means acknowledging that it is happening and ushering in the restorative forces of healing and renewal, thereby rebuilding energy reserves. Stress is one of the most demonized and misunderstood concepts in the world. People try to avoid it. However, stress is essential and vital to growth, and some stress in the right situations has a range of positive benefits. Stress gives you the energy you need to rise to the challenge. Kelly McGonigal, The Upside of Stress. Imagine that you're about to face a challenge. In that moment, your sympathetic nervous system swings into action. The body receives extra energy in the form of fat and sugar from the liver, and heart rate increases to ensure that all the nutrients, plus the additional oxygen being received from deeper breathing, arrive where they are needed. Adrenaline and cortisol are pumped into the bloodstream, together with endorphins and dopamine. As McGonigal, a psychologist and author, says, stress can create a state of concentrated attention. This side effect is one reason why some people enjoy stress. It provides a bit of a rush. Research also tells us that stress encourages us to become more socially minded because Chapter 5. Influence. Every salesperson we spoke to in our research believes successful salespeople use influence and persuasion to open doors, collect information, and gain commitment. They persuade prospects to see a need they didn't recognize before, to feel an urge to act quickly, and to have a preference of supplier. At the same time as they're working to influence customers, top sellers also work internally to influence bosses and colleagues. Ask across departments to learn what people think of an influential salesperson, and you'll hear they relate to them culturally, like them socially, value them commercially. They're willing to help that salesperson achieve their goals by offering special resources, pricing, or time extensions not generally given to others. This bestowal of goodwill has nothing to do with favoritism, tenure, or formal rank. It's all achieved through influence. Again and again, our interview transcripts cited examples of top performers being aware that they have this impact and are not afraid to make the most of it. Such persuaders are opinionated enough to see the world as they want it to be. They have a knack for getting close to others who can help put the pieces together, then influencing those people to make it happen. At first glance, influence can look a lot like its darker cousin, manipulation, so we need to understand the journey motivators that support and differentiate it as an ethical element for professional selling. We can look at the following two journey motivators in terms of a gorilla mindset, the muscle-bound primate getting what he wants through brute force versus a gorilla perspective, irregular fighters who... Chapter 6. Communication. In the 4th century BC, the Greek philosopher Aristotle became a student of Plato, who had been taught by Socrates. Aristotle's views profoundly shaped the next 1,000 years of Jewish and Christian scholastic tradition, and he was revered among medieval Muslim intellectuals as the first teacher. Aristotle was chosen to tutor Alexander the Great, from whom he received an abundance of resources to expand his studies, establish a great library, and produce hundreds of books on topics ranging from physics, ethics, theater and music, to politics, biology, and zoology. Aristotle was particularly fascinated by rhetoric, the art of persuasive speaking and writing. He was one of the first documenters of the communication techniques used by actors, merchants, and politicians, which he wrote about in the book On Rhetoric. In this study, Aristotle identified three elements of persuasive communication: ethos, pathos, and logos. Ethos is Greek for character. It's a method of convincing an audience of your credibility and authority, and therefore the veracity of your proposition. You generate ethos by choosing language appropriate for the audience, employing correct grammar, and exuding professionalism. Cite your background and credentials, all the while being knowledgeable and likable. The purpose of ethos is to build an impression of your authority, competence, and credibility. No sales conversation is complete without establishing your ethos. Without it, why should they listen? Pathos is Greek for feeling. It's used to evoke a stirring emotional connection with what you're discussing. Great speeches. Chapter 7. Unlocking Your Code. In the previous chapters, we explored 5 destination beliefs and 10 sub or journey motivators. We discovered that salespeople hold both journey motivators and that the secret of the top performers is that they hold a specific combination of intensity of each journey motivator. Let's remind ourselves of the optimal balance of journey motivators as illustrated below. Fulfillment, 38% fear versus 62% desire. Control, 22% victim versus 78% hero. Resilience, 41% hard work versus 59% work smart. Influence, 26% gorilla, 74% gorilla. Communication, 21% lightning, 79% thunder. Your own balance of intensity may align closely to this, or it may be somewhat different. The delta between your current motivation balance and the optimum motivation balance, as demonstrated by the top 5%, represents the size of the shift in your beliefs and motivations, which may be necessary if you want to align with the best of the best. As things stand, you may be able to draw some conclusions about your own personal secret code delta. Having read this far, it is reasonable to assume that you have found this book provocative and worthy of reflection. The rest of this chapter is aimed at helping you to shift some of your current beliefs and motivations and to enable you to model, copy other people who you think display the attributes you would like to own for yourself. What you will not. Chapter 8. The Secret Code: Lessons in Management and Leadership. Our sales profession has become adept at developing the processes that support sales customer relationship management systems, key account management processes, strategic relationship mapping, and sheets of many and varied colors. Many of these are excellent tools, tools that no self-respecting professional would be without. It has also become an accepted norm that those of us who make sales our career will be offered sales skills development, how to prospect, how to ask questions, how to frame a proposition, and how to demonstrate the value we bring. Again, all perfectly right and proper. No customer should experience a salesperson who is not up to the job. From the sales leader's perspective, we now have a third element to consider. In addition to traditional focus upon processes and skills, we now have a more detailed understanding of how deeply held beliefs will manifest themselves behaviorally. Sales transformation is an epithet which is part of the management lexicon these days. It would be high risk to implement any process or skills changes without first understanding that the secret code exists and then seeking to compare the sales force with the role model 5%. Failure to do so would be like driving a car blindfolded and steering aimlessly towards a destination that you don't know even exists and which you would not recognize even if you made there in one piece. Sales managers and leaders are now able to focus on their role, knowing how they can have a major impact upon their people's success and their customers' experience of their company. Three areas to consider are: this has been The Salesperson's Secret Code, written by Ian Mills, Mark Ridley, Ben Laker, and Tim Chapman, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2017 by Ian Mills, Mark Ridley, Ben Laker, and Tim Chapman. Copyright 2017 by Lid Publishing Limited. Production copyright by Lid Publishing Limited. More information regarding today's book and the author can be found at Amazon.com. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With a collection of trivia, research, news stories, and knowledge from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.